Hello everyone, this is Dark Journalist with a special part two interview with author and researcher John W. Warner IV, the son of Mellon banking heiress Catherine Mellon and Virginia Senator and Secretary of the Navy, the late Senator John Warner, who had been involved in the secret programs of the UFO file. In this special part two episode, John will bring forward even more information on hidden connections with his family and deep events in history, and the clandestine structures that keep dramatic leaps in exotic technology behind a lethal wall of secrecy. Is this the time to bring forward the X technology in the UFO file? Please join us now. John, it is great to have you back. And let's start off now with this story we were just talking about involving the Dalai Lama.
I know Uma Thurman's dad, Mr. Thurman, who's the head of the Tibet Society in New York. I know him and his wife very well. And I mentioned the honor. I said, I'm writing this book. This is years ago. I said, I'm writing this book about the Anunnaki SS in Tibet. And he flipped out. That's not true. You know, the Nazis had nothing to do with the Dalai Lama. He was very defensive. I was like, look, I got a picture of the Dalai Lama with Bruno Bager of the Anunnaki. Now, Bruno Bager was a psychopath. He had Jews killed at Auschwitz and put them in a skeleton museum to show how superior Aryan skeletons were to Jewish people. I was a psychopath. Oh, I mentioned that in the book. Yeah. And Mr. Thurman went apeshit. They're good friends with my sister and longtime friends. Now, I respect Tibet and Buddhism. It's a philosophy, but the truth is true. Why was the American Nazi Party in the 30s? Himmler said it. We're really proud of the American Nazi Party. They're the best at doing Tibetan bon rituals out in Long Island.
Oh, right.
Now, that's animistic. Bon, the religion of Tibet, is the animistic, the spirits of the animals, your ancestors. It's pagan, you know, all that stuff. And they believe in the inner earth people, Agartha, and, you know, all that stuff, the Aldebaran, you know, component of it. That's all part of the Bon religion. So what is going on? I mean,
interesting.
Obviously, Mr. Thurman was very defensive about Tibet. You know, I'm now wondering if he was on the CIA payroll.
Wow. Well, I remember we had that weird incident when the Dalai Lama came out in favor of these pharmaceutical mandates. You know,
Bono supported.
Oh yeah,
the celebrities. I'm sorry, these are not people you should look up to.
They're unfortunately, very, yeah, and guys like Bono too.
Yeah, and they live in a bubble.
Yeah,
their own reality. It's to protect them because fame, intense fame, is not natural for the human psyche. And you'll go mad. So you create this bubble of entourage of people. They're kissing your ass. Mm-hmm. You know, they need that. I saw that with Liz Taylor. I saw it with Paul Newman, who I knew very well. They were great people, but they had to have this protective reality. Yeah. And it goes for world leaders and the Dalai Lama and everyone who's famous. It's not something you want to be. And my dad had a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And I saw it go to his head. It made him arrogant, and I said, you're being an arrogant ass. And it really bothered him that I knew that, and he didn't see it.
Interesting.
Coming that way in his 50s, yeah. And then when Liz Taylor and him divorced, he got down to work and let all that go. But he was a very well-known senator. Everywhere I go, everyone knows him. I'm shocked. I'm like, wow, you remember my dad? And they're like, oh, I met your dad. And I think he met several million people. You know,
incredible.
It shows you how that taints you. A senator, congressman, president, you're a rock star all of a sudden. And it distorts your reality. I've seen it all my life. I promised myself, oh my God, whatever I do, I don't want to be famous.
So
Paul Newman said it to me. He said, it's the worst prison you can imagine.
Ah.
And he says, I'm lucky. You know, all the booze, the alcohol, the drugs. People need that, but after a while, you just become an addict and it destroys your life. But for a while, that's why celebrities are so heavily into booze and drugs, traditionally, senators and congressmen on cocktail parties. because you need that psychic insulator. But it doesn't, it's a false friend, and it doesn't work for, works for a few years.
Excellent point.
You know, it, I get off on tangents, but it's all related to this thing. And but yeah.
What's your best memory of Elizabeth Taylor as your mom, stepmom?
Well, I think in my last interview with you, I told you she had seen a UFO off coast.
Yes.
She saw a couple of them. She's like, I know what's up. She was smart. She goes, I know what's up. And you know, your dad's not telling the truth. And I said, we had been, you know, sharing a joint with a friend of mine. My dad came home and we started querying him. He got really angry.
Oh.
And he said, number one, God would never let that happen. And I, right off, I knew that was bullshit because he's not really religious. Yeah, he'll go to church as a campaign thing, but he's not really religious. So I knew that was a lie right off the bat. I said, you're not religious. I was 18 or something, 17. And he said, look, you know, I don't know what you saw out there, but if the military has it, they have good reason to keep it secret. Now, this was 1979 or something, 80, somewhere around in that time. And boy, she lit into him. She's like, oh, wow. We all know you had close encounters of the third kind. They're trying to tell us something. Ah, my dad's like, God damn it. He got flustered and walked out.
Wow.
And that at 17 or 18, that's when I started to realize that he knows more than he's telling.
Right.
Especially with that bullshit statement, you know, God would never let this happen. I said, well, why did, you know, God exists? She created all the cosmos. So, you know, what's the rub? There's no, he had bullshit arguments as a politician, even within his own family, trying to, we were very inquisitive children.
Mm-hmm.
Very, shut up and listen to me when I tell you something. No, mom's a hippie. Mom said Vietnam, UFOs.
Wow.
And so I had my mother pushing me with conspiracy and saying, look, the world's bullshit. It's not this DC privilege, melon money thing. You got to go live your life and experience the real world.
And that's your mom, Catherine.
My mom. I'm real yeah. mother, Catherine. And she was a really good influence. She taught me to read and write at age two. I asked her to, apparently. And she taught me all that stuff. She didn't listen to the schools. She never listened to the schools. And, of course, she said, you need to question religion. And I said, I do. And, boy, they got angry at that. And she went down there. I didn't realize how many times she went to my schools and read them in the Riot Act.
Interesting.
Of course, they gave a lot of money.
Right. She sounds like an incredible.
They had to listen to her. That's yeah. the way it works. You know, I was not an A student. I was a C+ student, C student all my life. My mom's like, don't work that hard. You'll learn what you want to learn after college. And of course, I did.
Interesting.
I studied history very hard because I was interested in military history. So that I got good grades in. Everything else I.
So she had the intuition for where you were headed.
Like Mary Mellon did.
Yeah.
I think my grandmother, Mary Mellon, might have had a little bit of a psychic component. And maybe my mom, because, you know, it's hereditary. I've had a couple of precog dreams, which really kind of freaked me out. But other than that, you know, everyone's psychic. So it's just to what degree.
Well, you've tuned into these subjects, so you're picking up a lot. Yeah.
It's your higher self going, hey, dummy, get off your ass and do something. This is your family history. And I'm like, okay. It's, once you delve into this vast subject of human history and visitation and military and all this stuff, everything else is completely boring.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because most of it's bullshit. You're going to go to school, get a graduate degree in history? Okay. And you teach it at the university, the approved program, and they'll tenure you, and you won't be able to talk out of school. Great. That's a great career. Go for it. No. I was always the rebel. And I'm sure you were too. It's like seekers. Everyone who's a seeker of the truth, they're always the rebels. My mom was, her mother was, and they don't conform.
Right.
And society, high society, really wants you to conform. Wear a tie at the yacht club. Don't talk about this. You know, Chris Mellon told me at the family reunion, he's like, don't talk shop. So I said, there was a small group of us. I said, we all have the UFO hobby. He's like, oh. And it's, he took me aside and said, you know, let's not talk about that at the family reunion. That's business.
Oh, wow.
Family. I said, that's fine. I won't mention it to anyone. But now the next time I go, I'm going to come up with a bullhorn. You know, and I'm billboard. My God, you melon idiots. You know, wake up. You know, but he and I are known as sort of the weird black sheep of the family.
Interesting.
By other family members.
And you've both gone in different directions.
Yeah, he's government. Black sheep.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not anti-government everything, but I believe in a strong military, but you know, the 10% of the military and probably 50% of the Space Force that is in on this severe secrecy, which my father agreed was killing the United States.
Wow.
Secrecy, Patriot Act, everything. It's killing us. And that's why he, at the end, the last 2 years, he's like, you were right about a lot of this stuff. You need to go forward. I said, I don't want to do it until you're passed away, Dad. He's like, no, do it now. And that I came out in February of 2021. Or 2020, right before he died, he said, "Go. They can't do anything to me now." It was very sad. I cried.
I can imagine. Yeah.
He finally said, "You need to do it because I could never do it. You know, no one in the government or military wants to talk. Their careers, their families are threatened. I mean, you know the deal." And I've gotten, you know, since then I've done, I don't know, 20 interviews, and you know, I've gotten emails from old friends saying, you know, you better be careful. Not a threat, a third party. You know, I'm a third party for somebody. Mm-hmm. They're watching you, is what a friend of mine said. And I said, I don't care. I really don't. I care about this country. I care about the people of this country. My dad did too. My dad was not an elite person. He was a middle-class guy.
Right.
And my mom cared in her own weird sort of limousine liberal way. She cared. But I could never convince her to stop giving money to big foundations. She didn't. In her later years, she didn't believe in that. I said, my God, you don't believe in the moon landing. You know, you thought it was the aliens, but you still give to these Andrew Mellon Foundation things. She had her own.
Yeah.
She's wealthy enough. She has her own. I mean, I have a tiny one. I give to local charities because the big charities are all corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
You, Catherine Austin Fitz.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting because I do think it's fascinating the timing with your dad and him wanting you to come forward with this information, to be that counter voice. It's almost like, you know, at the end of his life, he has an intuition about it. As a matter of fact, our interview was published just a couple of days before his funeral. And so, yeah, that to me, I just the timing on that whole thing. And then you going through that whole experience with it, you know, just having to go through the whole funeral and the whole experience. And, you know, it's an interesting legacy that your dad has left you because he let you in to a degree on these things. But he also was a politician for so many years that he played it safe. But at the end, he said, you know what, you have to go for it.
Well, I love my dad dearly, but I am disappointed with him because he's left this big bowl of crap in my lap. And it's like, you know, in the mafia movies, you cut off a head and you throw it, Apocalypse Now. I'm Martin Sheen in a bamboo cage and someone threw my friend's head in my lap. That's how I feel because I understand his generation, Bobby Ray Emin and everyone else. But God damn it, they didn't get shit done for the American people on this subject. Maybe behind the scenes, I'm not privy to anything, everything, no one is, but you know, maybe they really tried hard. I think they did. And they got thwarted every time. And 9/11 was the big one. They said, stop it, or we're going to start killing people en masse. And people reeled back. Because when my dad, I said, Dad, that was a Tomahawk missile, wasn't it? In the Pentagon, the hole in the Pentagon was not. He said, I will not talk about that with you. That's the one thing. He looked me in the eyes. That's the one thing I want. And which is, go research on your own. You're damn right it was a Tomahawk missile. Now figure out why. Mm-hmm. And so my dad left me a lot of stuff to go forward, but he also left me with a huge mess. Because if my family really does start to understand what we're talking about, I just can't even imagine where I would begin with them. When you, it's one thing to grow up in this country and you're under soft fascism or whatever, a corrupt constitutional republic. Let's just call it that. And you lose faith in the government. That's one thing. But it's like when your family's deeply wrapped up in it. And I'm not alone. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. My dad was in the military. You know, this guy I'm talking with right now from Jack Sarfatti's group, his father was a spy in Germany, a Navy, U.S. Navy spy in Germany at Peenemünde. And that's real. And so there are other people whose parents and relatives were wrapped up in this whole mess. And he said his father was privy to some of the UFO file. So these are the kind of people that reach out to me. And it's
fantastic.
It's very sobering because it starts to cement more and more my family history. And I'm not happy with Paul Mellon. His legacy is very dark, I think. Council on Foreign Relations. I now know that he was part of another secret society. I'm not going to mention it. I promised I wouldn't. It just keeps piling up the shit. And the guy, you know.
It would be a name that people would know, let's say.
Yeah, it's like the Mellons. Okay, I get it. We're knee deep in this stuff, if not more, up to our necks in it.
Yeah, right.
You know, we are. And all the rich families are. They have family members who are. It's very interesting to be part of the deep state and the military industrial complex or the U.S. government. It's extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. If you're really smart and you have access and you are on the list.
Right.
Approved. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. If you're approved. I mean, aren't there Democrats on the UAP task force?
Sure.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. If you're a team player.
Exactly.
That's who Gary Nolan is and Travis Taylor. I like Travis Taylor. He's a very interesting guy. Big on Tesla and his technology. But I'm sorry. They're all polishing their stars with this rag. And this rag has grease and blood on it. And I mean it. My family is tainted. Their hands are covered in blood. You know, we all are. Everyone... If you go and you vote for someone or you go and serve in the military, we're all wrapped up in this thing. Everyone's like, it's us versus them. And it's like, no. The more you study it, you realize we're all in it together. I mean it. And I don't want to, you know, I can't stand some of the people across the aisle. I'd like to punch them. But that's not going to do any good. You've got to reach across the aisle and shake hands because it's the only way we're going to move forward because we're all one. Sorry, law of one. You know, Chris Mellon and all these people, you know, I'm very disappointed and angry at them. But they're human beings like the rest of us, mostly. A couple. Lou Elizondo, I think he's human, mostly. But
we're regressive type.
We're all in this together.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, and the disclosure movement's fighting each other, and we're all, you know, look, we're all in this together. We've got to move forward. And these secret space program people, they're not going away. According to them, there are thousands of people waking up and they have fractured memories and it's very disturbing and the secret space program narrative. But whatever the truth is out there, I think it's a big space force. I don't know how big. That narrative is not going to go away. It's accelerating from what I can tell. And it's like, that's just the way I'm wired. I keep a very, very open mind. I listen to everybody and I consider everything.
Yeah,
some of their narrative makes sense. Now, I'll go back to Germany. Let me just tell you a couple things about Germany that they tell me. These Germans out in space who apparently have conquered some star systems and living on different colonies and planets, for their military, the Notwaffen or whatever they call it, they use Kriegsmarine ranks. And the officer corps is into Asatru Norse religion as a privilege. Because religions are outlawed. They call themselves the Federation of Free German Worlds. Now, free for whom? You know, Aryans, obviously. But I find it interesting, all the little details. On their military script, they have the 30 Years' War. Now, that's Lutheranism. That was Gnosticism versus the Church of Rome.
Oh, right.
You know, Lutheranism. And they're very proud of that. Now, that's a very odd detail. Or someone coming out and saying, hey, man, I served with the Notwaffen and I'm an SSP, you know, and I want to, and I don't think any of these people are making money, pennies, you know, little bits, dollar here, dollar there. And it's like, they're not in it for the money. And they're saying all these odd details. So you got Acid True Religion, which, and I also, they said they speak a very odd dialect of German. So I looked it up. A lot of the Bavarians went down to Neuschwabenland. Now, Swabia is in Bavaria. Right. Swabians speak a very distinct dialect of German.
Isn't Neuschwabenland Antarctica?
Yeah. Neuschwabenland base 211. Now, Jim Marr said that also means New Germany. Yes, but Swabia is interesting. They have a lot of pagan festivals in Bavaria and Swabia. I went to some of them. Fastnacht and the solstice festivals, which is Oktoberfest. I went to the spring farmers festivals in Stuttgart. Boy, was that a wild time. You know, men in dresses, women in, you know, beer flowed, and they had the band and everything. But it was very interesting how they take all these previously pagan rituals like Fastnacht and Krampusnacht. You know, the mean demon comes out and steals children. Wait a minute. They abduct children? This guy, where's this guy from? Oh, we don't know. It's Krampusnacht. And all these weird, and it's always like beer. And you should look up the festivals in Bavaria. They're yeah. very interesting. And they said, oh, no, these are all religion. And you know, the Catholic Church came in and religious. Well, that's what Easter and Christmas and Halloween, you know, they all try to, that's the only one we have left that's pagan, Halloween, All Hallows Eve.
True.
You know, Shemayan in the Celtic calendar. That doesn't fool me. All those are pagan festivals. And so these people say these traditions are out there in space. Now, that takes some study. It's not just your garden variety 25-year-old girl comes out and says, yeah, man, I was out in space with the Germans, you know, for a 20 and back tour or whatever, 100 and back. And then they age regressed me and time traveled me. And I was like, okay. And they're like, oh, yeah, I was into Acid True. And oh, by the way, you know, they celebrate this. And I'm like, that's not easily found, because they say that the Lords of the Black Stone was a thing, an ET trade item that was illegal. And you heated it up and it excluded a black blood. Now, this gets back to the Teutonic Knights, the Templars, the Cathars, and everyone, the Gnostics, they all mention this black stone. Huh. And so that was very interesting to me. You have to go to esoteric books.
Uh-huh.
One esoteric book from, I think, 1901. And I had to have it translated from German. They're like, oh, yeah, the Lords of the Black Stone. It's not easy to find. So these people are coming up with a very complex, detailed narrative that's not easy to understand. So I'm not advocating anything. I keep an open mind about everyone and everything. But right. I find it very interesting in the German details. And I'm sure Farrell will recognize some of those things. I mean, Kriegsmarine's rank, Oberbootsman, Korvettenkapitän. You know, you can find that on the internet. But some of these other things are very esoteric and weird. Acid True is very esoteric.
I mean,
into that. There's people who still do that.
Amazing.
In America, too. Interesting.
Let's say that these are interesting details that you're finding in witness testimony about extraordinary experiences that they had. And, you know, like with a lot of extraordinary experiences, you take it and you wonder about it. But some of these details make you think, well, there's something to this.
Yeah. I mean, in my book, I talk about the origins of the Wunderwaffe and the Thule Society and the Vril Society. I think the Vril Society was real. I think they were working on flying discs. Mm-hmm. Whether they got them to Antarctica or not, I don't know. High jump was very suspicious. Farrell dug that out. It reeks. Everyone I've talked to military-wise, they're like, oh, yeah, Operation High Jump. You know, that never made any sense. And so that's weird. But the where I'm tying this in is this. On your show, J.P. Farrell and some others have built, over the years, a fantastic amount of research. They have built a solid granite foundation for a breakaway German group or civilization. That's without doubt. If
absolutely.
You do the work, you can see that. Yes, some of them went to Argentina. Some of them went to the base 211 in Antarctica. And some of them came to America and NASA. But I'm not sure. There's stories of the Antarctic settlement women in the pale blue uniforms and the island of Ritsa being trained. The story is they handpicked 3,500 Waffen-SS troops from the Russian front with combat experience. They say that hardens the spirit person's spirituality and DNA. Being through those traumatic dark night of the soul, Russian front was hell for everyone. Freeze to death.
Oh yeah.
And so when these guys would go down to Antarctica, let's just say the story's real, you're dealing with a genetic stock that has been tempered like a sword. And sword, you temper it, you quench it, temper it, you quench it. It becomes flexible and hard. And so that makes sense to me, given what we know. Now, once in Antarctica, did they go to inner Earth or go out of space? I don't know. No one's quite sure, but the people I talk to, the SSP people, say, of course they did. It's not that big a deal. It's just we're told it's a big deal. And given all this stuff, look at the evidence the past 100 years. I mean, it's astounding. And so there is a connection between everyone's research and this new narrative that's been around, I think, 8 or 10 years that everyone hates. And they remember the early 90s? And they all, yeah. Those people are into alien abductions. They're all nuts. They're all right. Roswell crazies.
Yes.
And now, look, they're the conservatives. Very conservative. Stephen Bassett and Cameron, very conservative. They're trying to work with the government, trying to get it. That's never going to work. Mm-hmm. You're only going to get the UAP approved narrative from the government.
I feel bad for them actually going that route. Yeah.
Dolan, too. It's not going to work. I do agree we have to put our hand across the aisle and cooperate. But so far, the other aisle is not cooperating whatsoever.
Absolutely. I have to throw a wild
saying they're not have Chris Mellon's not interviewing you or Greer or coming on your show or doing anything.
Right.
No, they're approved people, people that have been vetted, you know, team players, people that have been paid off, threatened, or you know, do it because they believe that's the way forward.
Well, they don't, they're not up for any kind of gentleman's debate on it, shall we say. All they want are the softball questions. And guys like Knapp and stuff, you know, they'll feed that out there and just be like, you know, when they talk to Elizondo and Mellon, I mean, they feed them softball questions, so you're never going to get to any truth. Now we find out, of course, Elizondo worked for the government the whole time. He's not ex-Pentagon anything. And these are the things that, you know, we're hanging out there, we put forward. The way that I look at it is they're trying to switch part of this program over to Nolan now. And that's why I was asking you about him. But here's
it's actually smart on their end, because to me and you and all the people in your camp and disclosure movement doesn't fool hardly anyone. But you have to remember the 7.6 billion people out there who watch CNN. Oh, that's the
and
truth.
Don't know anything about the topic at all. Sure.
Mellon, Elizondo, Gary Nolan, the whole UAP task force group, they know who their audience is. And right. It's not us.
Yeah.
They know who they're talking to. It's so easy. I'm sorry to give this analogy, but it's like handing out candy to a child.
Yeah.
Here's your lollipop with UFO. Sorry, UAP. Want it? Here's your UAP lollipop. Now go skip along and
the UAP lollipop.
Don't worry about anything. The question is, why are they doing it after 75 years of secrecy? Why? Who's the impetus? Because my military friends are like, well, it's got to be a big deal because they never would do this in the old days.
Right.
What has changed? On the
excellent point.
So that suggests strongly that there's a white, light gray hat initiative in there. And you know, people say in the Trump camp there's some of that in there. I don't know. I don't trust Trump. Yes, I know he knows about the UFO file because John G. Trump, his uncle.
Sure.
Probably in Nixon. It makes sense. But what did he do during his presidency? You know, not much.
Actually, I'm glad you brought him up because I wanted to ask you, Mar-a-Lago, the raid, what are they after him for there?
Something big.
Something.
I mean, D.C., my dad told me a trick. He said, whenever something big happens, go down to Old Ebbets Grill near the White House on a Friday afternoon, have a beer and a hamburger, and listen. Because all the staffers, senators, congressmen, they go there. It's a watering hole.
It's
one of the great hamburgers. And my wife and I were like, let's do what dad said to do. So we went down there and we went down a couple times. And man, that was all the talk. what the hell was in Mar-a-Lago? What do they have? I don't know, you know. And I think I, you know, I was like, UAP task force. UFO. And, you know, would look, well, who the hell said that? Didn't talk to anybody, but we listened.
Interesting.
And so whatever he had, it was hot. So it probably was a combination of, everyone thinks it might have been the Kennedy stuff. Maybe, but I bet it was some of the UFO stuff. It had to be, because that's the only reason why they breach. There's a, you know, I don't know.
Raiding next balls, president? Balls that's never people. Happened. Yeah, they didn't even raid Nixon.
That would never happen to a Republican, you know, an approved president.
Exactly.
Which still begs the question, how the hell did Trump pull it off and get into the White House in the first place? If everyone gerrymanders, so that's more fuel to the speculation that there's a white hat initiative on the inside.
Yeah.
Military industrial corporate complex that says, enough. We got to do something. We got to start moving the American people, yes, the world, but the American people forward on this. Because, first of all, secrecy didn't work. We've been talking about UFOs and stuff since the 60s. You know, there have been a million writers written really good books that you and I have both read. And Peter Dale Scott tells us the deep state. But they also know a lot of people don't read anymore.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, they want to build a TikTok society.
No, they do.
Yeah.
I tried on Twitter to, and it was just a shit show.
I was going to ask you about that.
The level of intellect was very low. I met a couple of good people, but they were, you know, out of, I don't know, thousands. It was just like a handful. And so it wasn't work. It's an energy drain. It's set up by the intel services, obviously, so that people can, in these one sentence blibs. That's why I did memes, because it's a visual, a message. It's a propaganda poster. I fully admit that. Mm-hmm. It's trying to, you know, further along the truth as I see it, you know. And but I got so much hate, and of course there's trolls and bots and electronic. One guy wrote to me on Twitter. He says, I like what you're doing, but you realize you're arguing with a robot. Because I'd been arguing with this one guy, you know. He's like, you're wasting your time. This is a robot. He's like, I work in the Intel biz. You're arguing with an algorithm. So, I'm off of Twitter. And I knew that going in. I knew all the pitfalls. I'd studied it for months. But it was so little reward for so much work.
And yeah. Yeah.
For you and your channel, it makes perfect sense. For me as a private individual, it's nonsense. And I got so much hate.
Well, you contributed some great stuff to it, but I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. And I saw myself getting really angry. And I said, man, they got me. It's an energy pit, a dead letter office energy pit. It's where thoughts and energy goes to die. It's not a good vehicle for passing.
Absolutely.
It's mostly bullshit and counterintelligence. And boy, did I get a lot of hate when I came against Elon Musk. I said, he's a thinly disguised military contractor. Here's the Cybertruck. I got so much hate. And when, what did Tesla recently come out with? Oh, we're doing work for the military.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. God. It's so obvious.
Yeah.
He's going to let out his anti-gravity Tesla and say, look what we made. And, you know, he's going to be the big hero. But, you know, everyone on the disclosure side, I think most people are like, you know, he's a CIA lapdog. He's African or German, like Farrell said. I mean, he's, yeah. The Facebook kid is nuts. I mean, it's also, once we have the eyes to see, it's actually really childish what they're doing.
Yeah.
But you've got to have the eyes to see. And everyone, you know, your subscribers, they're like, oh, I know what they're up to. But everyone else doesn't.
Yeah.
My friends are like, they buy a Tesla. And I said, don't. The batteries are dirty to make. They use children in other countries, slave labor, to mine the lithium. That's, you know, it's a picture. Someone did a meme with a giant dump truck and kids doing it. It's true. They catch fire. You know, it's not new technology. Electric cars, it's 130 years old. But it's like arguing. My wife says, look, when you argue about that with regular people, no offense, it's like yelling at a giant black granite stone. you're not going to get anything. You're just yelling at nothing. It's a waste of your time.
Wow, is that really true?
Yeah, it's sad. People are either awakening to this and saying, oh, interesting. I think John Warner's a lunatic. Daniel's not as bad. Yeah. At least we have Olivia. She's smart. Yeah. But it's a long process. I've had all my life to come to terms with it because I was right there. I was like a dumb kid. And I was like, well, this is cool. Navy base. And it's like, no, I mean, I was on the USS Enterprise in 1995 off South Carolina. And I spent two nights on board with Dad and my O&I friend. And, you know, one evening off the Fantail, there were bright orange lights at the horizon. And they were glowing super bright. It was sunset, but the sun was over yonder. And this is out towards the Atlantic, out to the east or whatever. Yeah. And they start disappearing, and then one shot away. And the officer in charge at the fan deck, lieutenant or whatever, he said, all right, they went back to work. It's naval flares. And I remember listening with my friend, this chief petty officer walked by with a group of sailors, and he said, they always fucking say that. They always tell us that. We know what it is. We know what it is. And so they've been, I think the secrecy, even in the military, everyone follows their duty and they do their duty. They're getting a lot of officers and men, they're getting tired of this. I think the Navy not only has the lion's share of technology and access, but I think the Navy probably is the impetus for this whole thing. We got to do something. We're going to do it now. I don't care who it is you pick, but do something. Because everyone, every day is, you know, there's a UFO sighting every day and there's a new story, whatever. They've done a terrible job keeping all this stuff secret. Terrible job. But it's the law of averages, only a small amount of people. Let's say the United States is 335 million. There's only, what, maybe a million people that understand what you and I are talking about? I'm being generous.
That's a pretty good number. Yeah.
I'd say probably less.
Yeah.
That's no threat to anyone. So they know this is all a fait accompli in their eyes. I don't think it is, because we're all in this together. So whatever harm you do to the American people via action or inaction, via truth or obfuscation, or, you know, lie by omission, you're only hurting yourself in the end. I mean, that's my message for the deep state. It's like, I don't care how separate you feel. I don't care how omnipotent the royals or big families feel. We're all connected. And everyone out there, I guarantee you, in space and everyone, they see us as one race.
Excellent.
I've heard that from multiple
sources.
They see us as one. And I don't care how far the Germans, if they are out in space, how many planets they've conquered or whatever they did, at some point, everyone sees us as one. They don't see German, American, French, English. They see us as one race. And we are one race. And we're all going to have, so we all are culpable for whatever everyone's doing in everyone, wow, every ET's eyes out there. I think we have diplomats, you know, conferring with ET everywhere going, what do we do about this mess? And they're like, well, you got a big mess. And it's probably one of the worst messes our galaxy has ever seen ever. But you got to start somewhere. So they're starting. But it ain't much. I mean, I'll be long gone. I think it's going to take 50 years, sadly.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't think this, it cannot happen overnight. It shouldn't happen overnight, because once I heard that from people that the religious folks commit suicide, and I don't want that to happen. I'm not a religious person, but I don't want that to happen. I've got a lot of friends who are religious.
Absolutely.
And I don't want, you know, religious extremists taking a lot of people with them because they think that's the right thing to do. You know, according to whatever text you're reading, it's the, what do they call it? The big thing at the end, Armageddon.
Right.
Whatever, there's all kinds of terms for it.
The rapture, Armageddon. Rapture,
whatever. Like, you know, Jim Jones, we need to be at the comet's tail.
Yes.
Everyone drink the Kool-Aid. That could happen on a larger scale. So when I heard that, I was like, shit, you know, maybe some of this darker elements that are possibilities within the deep state and the military industrial corporate complex, you know, ET trade and, you know, illegal drugs and, you know, weapons and I'll call the dirty stuff. That could really make people lose faith in everything. Because it's like, oh my God, yeah. There's a small portion at the top that's been screwing over the rest of the human race for so long, since Anunnaki times, for 10,000 years, and no one's ever tried to do anything about it. And, you know, you and I have had many decades to come to terms with this, but it's like, I go everywhere with my wife and I see corruption everywhere.
Wow.
The local police department, you know, who do you know? Are you rich? Are you poor? That's going to depend on how the judge treats you. You know, it goes down the line. What congressman or senator or representative do you know for that favor? Nothing gets done without a scratch on the back. You know, the whole society, we're a completely corrupt world. Every country is either overt fascism or communism, same thing. You know, don't give me the technicalities between communism and fascism. Don't get me started. You know, it's all totalitarianism.
Yeah.
And what's sad for me is the last 25 years is it's like there's nowhere on earth that's a free country. There's no real freedom for anyone. Oh, you billionaires, you all have freedom. No, we don't. I can't go to the moon. I can't go visit people on Mars. I can't go to Utah and go to a deep underground military base that everyone's taxes is paid for 10 times over.
Right.
Do that. I can't have the truth. You know, and if I'm an average working class person in the United States, I expect modest justice at best. Mm-hmm. And probably at most, I get the shaft. And my father, we had a lot of heated discussions about the corruption everywhere. And I finally realized that he was clinging to the naive belief that we still had some. I don't.
Huh.
At all. I think the entire world is on the take, corrupt. That doesn't mean they're all bad people. We're mostly good people in the world, mostly. It's just, you know, the fascists of the world know how to rule if you have the money, the weapons, and the power, and the technology.
Right.
We have it. What are you going to do about it? So I think this whole UAP thing, Chris Mellon, the UAP Task Force, the Pentagon, Avril Haines, you know, all this, these acronyms of these departments, all that stuff, all that crap, you know, they're trying to do something. They're really trying to poke us with sticks.
Yeah.
Disclosure movement. And the public, but the disclosure movement, because they can't disclose the hard stuff. Yeah, sure, alien visited, big deal. You know, Roswell crash. Yeah, we back engineered some stuff, big deal. Now that's the low level. They don't care about that. They care about the big stuff. They want us to know about the Anunnaki and where we came from. And, oh, we have funky bloodlines all over the place. They don't want us to know that. It's this thing where they cannot do it because the blacker, darker hats will be like, we're going to kill all of you if you do that. So, but they're getting impetus from the lighter hats. And so they're like, something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really lighting a fire under our butts in the disclosure movement. I'm angry. I'm sure you are. I'm fired up. I would never have come forward having it not been for Chris Mellon. So wow. I think they're doing something next to nothing to get people interested, number one, because most people aren't interested in the subject. And then the people in the disclosure movement who are more knowledgeable from mild to wild, to slowly move this thing along because they can't do it. They're like, look, here it is, a box of Oreos. Yeah, they have anti-gravity, they can fly. Okay. You guys deal with it. So they're trying to anger us and poke us with a
stick. Excellent point.
To get us to do it for them. And probably, Daniel, that's for the best.
Mm-hmm.
You want disclosure from the US government and military, the CIA? No. I want it to come from people like us. And I want people in equality, you know, who feel, you know, I've always believed in, you know, I can't, I've had, you must get emails too from people who are like, oh, my parents said to me that UFOs were real. They worked in the government, but that's all they said when we were growing up. They were scared. And I was like, I understand. I totally understand. And that's very heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people are really afraid to talk about this because there's still a stigma. But there's coming a breaking point where this is going to go mainstream in the public. And they're going to be very angry, confused, and oh boy. I mean, everyone is going to have a big job on their plates. I might run to Colorado and live in a log cabin. I won't even know what to tell my friends. Where do you start?
Yeah.
I mean, yes, the Earth was probably terraformed, probably Grand Central Station for more billions of years than we're taught. History is a lie. Everyone's head's going to pop like popcorn. How do you do it slowly?
Excellent point.
And I think that the deep state, the whole, you know, everybody, Chris Millen, all the UAP people, they're kind of handing us this explosive horseshit pie so that it blows up in the public's faces and not so much on them.
Oh, right.
Yes, some of it will stain them. And I said to Chris, why do you want to be the fall guy in this? And I think he's doing it for patriotic reasons. I think he truly believes the thin amount that they've told him. And they said, go forth and spread the word, Space Jesus or whatever. You and Lou and, you know, Avril Haines and everybody and connected with this, go forth and do it, because the big people behind the scenes that we don't know about, they don't want to be tainted with this. They don't want to be bothered with this. If it's going to blow up in the public arena, you know, the biggest problem, as you know, is our media, the press media. Oh, yeah. There's no, I'm sorry, folks, the world is fascist and there's no free media around the world.
No.
Yeah, you have the Epic Times that gives you a little bit more truth. And, you know, RT News gives you a little bit more truth than the American media, but it's all managed. And so we don't have any truthful media to go to. Everyone says, no, the Earth News on the internet, they're, you know, unless you go to UFO conspiracy news and they're talking about everything, but every news outlet every time Chris Millen opens his mouth and the New York Times and the Washington Post prints his article or The Hill, you think they're ever going to print this article I sent you? No. Hell no. Chris doesn't even want me to exist.
Right.
He would never mention me ever. He will never mention me. Even if someone comes up to him someday, and I know
he's not going to acknowledge you.
He'll never, because that's giving me validation, and that's giving you validation, everyone else validation in this disclosure arena. Right. He will never do it. He can't. I'm sure his bosses are like, you know, they got a knife at his back.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I mean, you know, if someone was going to try to do that with you and I, we wouldn't listen. We'd take the knife.
Right.
But a lot of people I know, I'm sorry, they don't have the backbone to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of people come forward, you know, send me emails saying, man, I can't believe you came forward. And I said, well, I felt the need to do it. My father served the American people. Now I'm going to serve the American people in my small little way.
Absolutely.
And they said, do you have any idea how dangerous it is? And I said, yeah, so what? I don't have a fear of death. There is no death. Boy, that's the big one as well. I told you the fun, you know, they don't want everyone to know that death is an illusion, that we all reincarnate. Oh, boy, they don't want that going either, because then everyone would be like, well, shit, I'm going to come forward. You know, they won't have any fear. Fear is another one of their tools.
Yeah.
That fake alien invasion, if they do that, that's not going to work for long. I hope they do it, because then the conversation, the argument's over.
Right.
Yes. UFOs are real and everything, and no one can ignore it anymore. But they'll try to spin it the bad way. And
the emergency powers.
But the cat's out of the bag, you know, and they won't be able to do much. But one thing I did want to mention is what I wrote to you in the memo I sent you. And that is, people keep coming up to me, and I'm sure they do to you and everyone else. It's like, where's the proof?
Right.
And it's a good question, and it's an important question. And as you know, trying to educate someone for years to get them to see, it's the sheer weight of the mass of circumstantial evidence around this topic, history, religion, weapons development, kings, queens, wars, bloodlines, the whole gamut, the Anunnaki, Atlantis, Lemuria, all of it. It takes so much to learn it. And so I started thinking, I said, well, here's actually, you know, what proof do you have? They asked me, what proof do you have of this deep state and the worldwide control system? And I said, the fundamentals of history never, ever change since the fall of Atlantis. Yes, little things change, progress, progressivism, civil rights. Those are all, you know, women's rights. Those are all good things. More transparency, sort of, a little. You know, as Stanton Friedman said, yeah, we've had a little UFO progress in the last 75 years. Before he died, he said that.
Wow.
Everyone was like, don't you think it's a great new era? And he said, not really. But the fundamentals of history never changed. Now, the human race is very creative. By all accounts out in the universe, people think we're massively creative. They're like, wow. I mean, you know, they create a gizmo and it's like good for 1,000 years. We're like, we change it every day. It's like, oh, you need the new Ford pickup truck with the hybrid electric drive. We improve stuff all the time because we're so creative. And so we're very loving and we're mostly nice people, benevolent. Yes, we have duality to deal with, but well, for the most part, most people are nice. But what are the fundamentals? Well, since 10,000 years since the Great Flood, since Noah's Flood, Göbekli Tepe, you know, 12,500 years, we've had organized civilization. What doesn't change? The rule of the elite few over the many never changes. Slavery. You've got sex slavery, you've got debt slavery, you've got outright slavery, blah, blah, blah. And it probably is out there in space too by Star Trek and Star Wars. It's all about slavery and war. That never changes. Religions are legion, and they keep creating new ones every day. Some people say the UFO disclosure movement is a religion. I don't know. I don't think so. But that never changes.
Yeah, it has some of those properties, yeah.
And that's part of, you know. And wars and weapons. You know, kings and queens, obviously, the bloodlines never change. I mean, the royals all over the world are still in power. Why?
Amazing.
Everyone's like, oh, they don't have any money or power. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I told you the story of the Farnborough Air Show. The United States Air Force and military had to deal with the Duke of, you know, Earl or whatever.
Oh, right. And
my dad said, it's all interconnected. We have to do business with the British aristocracy. They own everything. And everyone in England and everywhere, some say they own the Committee of 300 families. They do the puppet strings.
Wow.
Probably. My grandfather definitely bowed down to Queen Elizabeth. They were best friends.
Right.
I met her 3 times. I'm just a schmuck. What the hell?
It's, you know, remarkable.
There's something about the melons, my side of the melons.
Oh, yeah.
My great-grandfather, Andrew Mellon, was ambassador to the court of St. James. My side of the melons have been chummy with the British royal family going way back. And I think probably there's some bloodlines in there. You know, a lot of people have royal bloodlines, no big deal, but probably going back. In the occult side, this mystic occult side.
That explains a lot. Yeah.
Holy shit, yeah. Mary Millon and Paul Millon, you know, they were chummy with the British royal family. And it's my dad, KBE, grandfather, KBE. Okay. You know, this is all military related, but it's, you know, the royals rule. I'm sorry, they do. One person predicted that King Charles would be the last king of England. I hope that's true.
Wow.
I hope they get a clue. The British people need to get a clue. You don't wave your little flags. Most of them don't care for the royals, but there's a lot of them that do. They're like, oh, it's our heritage. It's like, well, you don't need to understand more about your heritage and the occult side of that and the historical side of that, where these bloodlines come from. And I think I personally believe they all came out of Sumeria. The Scythians merged with the Viking peoples, and that's where you get the Germanic tribes, mm-hmm. which were attempted genocide on them, Romans, others, down through history. It's true, and I think in the 19th century, the Germans were sick of it. And they said, we're going to, you know, it goes back to, before Bismarck, it goes back to some of the people I talked to say that go back to the Scythian Anunnaki bloodlines coming out of
interesting
in ancient times. They somehow merge with the Viking Norse people, which are a different deal. No one's quite sure. Maybe Atlantis bloodlines. And that became the German peoples of Roman times, the Iceni and Goths and the Visigoths. And that makes sense.
Interesting.
Germans got really sick of it. What was it? Frederick the Great. You know, you had Frederick the First and everything like that. And all those guys going back to the 18th century, where they whipped those Prussian armies and the Hessians and everybody. This mercenary thing goes way back. You know, there's mercenary companies all over the world, Whack and Hut, Blackwater, that do all the dirty work for everyone.
So what do you think this says about German history?
German history. I'm trying to do a white paper on where does this come from, this breakaway German group after World War II. What are the origins of that? And it's very nebulous. Huh. And it goes back to the Roman times. And these Anunnaki bloodlines, they all fought each other. And that's where all these religious wars and all our wars come from today, all these royal bloodlines. They're all in the mix of every single war. Everyone's like, oh no, it was Iraq war, had nothing to do with royal bloodlines. The hell it didn't.
Wow.
The British royal bloodline against Saddam Hussein's royal bloodline, these royal Anunnaki DNA bloodlines, I believe, are all connected, and they all don't get along, and they fight like dogs. That's been our legacy for 12,000 years. War, war, war. And these are proxy wars. So it all starts to make sense when you piece together the really big. And that's really hard to do, but I'm attempting to do that. But this German, boy, the Germans, as Farrell said, the Germans really have a knack for this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, who creates, technical schools for, alchemical physicists in the 19th century, in the early 19th century?
That's remarkable.
And obviously, they got anti-gravity done in the 1840s and 50s. I don't know why they did it in America. Maybe the ley line things, as Bosley points out. Maybe the Americans had more money. It's not sure. But these chemicals and gold, they needed a large amount of gold. Maybe the gold rush gold in California by Sonora is why they did it there. So, I mean, all this stuff makes eerie sense when you start piecing together. I'm really fascinated on this early German stuff. It's the 30 Years' War. Wow. I mean, it all has to do with Hermeticism and Lutheranism and, breaking away from the Church of Rome and the Gnostics and the Cathars and the Teutonic Knights and the Templars.
Right.
It's all related.
It's interesting because, there's a whole group of aliens that look Nordic.
Sure. They're our cousins.
Yeah. And it really begs the question, what's going on there in relation to these alien groups?
And I don't like to call them aliens. I think they're fellow star beings. We are star beings. Hello, we live on a little blue ball flying through space. Everyone lives on a spaceship. Hello. Hello, world. You live on a spaceship. There's no aliens. There's no everyone's us and them. The invasion, us and them. No, that's just in the movies in Hollywood and the CIA. No, we're all in ancient times. You look up the Cynocephalus, the dog-headed men of the Middle Ages, they're trained in brain. They're portrayed as just middlemen. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, they're gods from the sky. No, they're middlemen. Who the hell were they? Mm-hmm. The ibis-headed beings of ancient Egypt, the lion beings from Lyra. Come on. And people got to get over this us versus them. We're all common citizens of the galaxy. I believe we're all equal. A lot of people don't like that. Be better. Be regressive about it. But this whole thing, like the aliens are coming. It's like, look to your left, look to your right. How do you know half the people you don't know are, half alien or hybrid? We're all hybrids. Mm-hmm. So what? I mean, dogs, we're like dogs. There's no purebred dog. They're all hybrids. It's a silly argument of us versus them. That's the first hurdle with all of this is people got to remember we're all cousins. Everyone in the cosmos, people, I don't care if there's a squid race, on the other side of our universe that lives under the ice and whatever, you dig back far enough and we share some common DNA from whenever the universe began. It's this whole, that narrative had been constructed by Hollywood. Jules Verne and everybody. But really has been constructed so there's us versus them. And it's like, no, wow, when Nordic comes down in a spaceship, so what? What's the big deal? You know, we're cousins. We share DNA. It's like, oh, yeah, your great aunt Carrie. You know, what? Oh, really? You know, so what? Doing trade, so? Some of the nefarious stuff doesn't, you know, float my boat, mega yacht. You know, it doesn't, it's not that big a deal. People have, we've been trained by the media and the movies in Hollywood to think it's the human race versus all the aliens. It's like, we're all the same. We may not look alike. We may have different ethics. We have different levels of dimensionality, and, but we're not better or worse than anyone else. I truly believe that.
Wow. That's an excellent point. John, yeah, it's incredible. I can't let you get out of this interview without this one question, which we didn't put on the record before, but it has to do with you being on this trip
on the USS John Warner, and you speak to the captain, and then you find out that they're using something else.
Oh, yeah. No, I went to the inauguration for the ship, the launching at Newport News, and I'm sitting there, my hand on the hull, my nephew was there and everything, and the captain comes up and says, oh, nice to meet you. I said, hey, Cap, come on. I'll bet this underwater you can do 100 knots sustained. And I'll bet you that's not traditional nuclear power plant in there. And he just nodded and smiled. And I said, I bet you that's the truth. Don't worry. I won't tell anybody. Well, I didn't say that. But and he just smiled and said, you know, it was really nice to meet you, Mr. Warner. You're a very interesting person. He shook my hand, slapped me on the back, and walked away. Now, to me, that's confirmation that they're using zero-point energy, plasmic. So it's a lot safer than traditional nuclear on submarines. I bet they started doing it in the early 60s because I've heard that I met Admiral Rickover at the Naval Academy with my dad. I was probably 21. And I started talking to him about the first nuclear submarine, the USS Nautilus. And Rickover said, you know, we were very naive about radiation back then. We learned that, you know, from the Germans and other people who were messing around with nuclear research. But it was a great idea, so we tried it. But every man aboard knew the dangers. So that was a volunteer crew, USS Nautilus. Now, they went under the ice, the North Pole, and it was a big deal. And they were all heroes in my book because they knew the dangers of the radiation. And everyone wore a radiation tag. And you know,
wow.
The stories I've heard is that a lot of those guys into their older years are dying of cancer.
Oh, no.
So they went into it knowing it was dangerous. But man, at that time, Cold War and the Soviets, not on the UFO file, but on the up and up Cold War, you know, mm-hmm. fighting a Cold War, we had to do it. But I think the Soviets had the movies. There's some movies about it. The Soviets had a lot of reactor problems. And probably we did too. And someone said, enough. We got to put a plasma accelerator in here. It's a lot safer, a lot less radiation. I think there's a tiny bit. And they started probably doing that in the 60s.
Interesting.
And for safety reasons. And of course, the big carriers, you've got to go 35 knots into the wind to launch your aircraft. That takes a lot of power. Even in World War II, they could get it done with, you know, reciprocating diesel fuel oil engines, but and turbines, but it takes a lot. And so nuclear power, they probably started out with traditional, but by the 60s and definitely by the 70s, every carrier carried probably a 0-point plasma accelerator for energy because it's like a small city. I was on the USS Enterprise, you know, ironically enough, and I didn't get to see the engine room.
Oh.
My dad said that was classified. I said, well, I've studied nuclear engineering. I know what it looks like. You know, you got the rods and the cooling pipes. It's just, I know what it looks like. He says, we can't go there. Ask anyone who's been on a Navy ship if they'll show you the engine room that's nuclear powered. Nope. Unless you've got a massive clearance. Now, my dad went and saw it. So I saw UFOs on the damn fantail with the crew. I think they were UFOs. They said they were flares, but the crew was very disgruntled. They didn't think so. And they wouldn't let me go to the engine room.
Fascinating. So,
I don't know. I mean, I think this is obvious that they've been doing this. I've gotten in arguments with Navy people and they say, oh, no, I would know about it. And I said, no, with respect, you would not know This is the top of the tree classification. This is back engineered, you know, German and UFO technology. You know, to run a modern aircraft carrier, you know they've got to have two or three of these things to generate enough electrical power for the needs of the crew. Yes, some of the smaller ships don't use it because it's littoral. You know, the USS Zumwalt, the admiral that I knew, that uses, you know, complex, some of the aluminum ships use jet turbines, but you got to wonder what else they have. Mm-hmm. In addition to the, you know, diesel, you know, kerosene powered reciprocating stuff, whether it be jet turbine or you know, piston powered diesel engines, like, you know, they must have other stuff. It costs so much money to build those ships. And now they don't want to build many anymore. And, you know, and I won't get into the whole, you know, whether they have a gizmo that they can open up a portal and teleport Tesla style from Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean. Oh, wow. Just think if they have the Tesla technology now on some of the ships, like the Zumwalt. Looks like a spaceship. Look at the USS Zumwalt. Very streamlined. If it can open up a portal using, you got to use crystals. I've heard you got to use quartz crystals and resonate them. And it will open up a rip in space-time. It saves time to target. It saves crew and food. It saves fuel. It saves everything. Now, how they manage the crew with that, John Lear says, you know, some of these ships can go 50, 60 knots at nighttime and they lock the crew down. Maybe. But wouldn't it be more elegant to Tesla teleport to where you need to be? It's like, we need the USS Zumwalt. Let's say it's hanging out in the Caribbean. We need it in the Gulf of Aden. You're there. And the crew is silenced, or they use some type of blank slate technology, which I heard is very sophisticated. And I think they used it on my father in Iraq. He said, you know, and they manage the crew that way. Oh, yes, you did remember coming around Cape Horn or Good Hope or whatever. Yes, you do remember. And they do. My dad, when he went to this is during Gulf One, he went to Iraq. He wouldn't take me there. I didn't get to go. I wanted to go. He was on a military jet, you know, a passenger military jet, and they fired missiles at him.
Wow.
I don't know where this is, Fallujah or somewhere else. I don't know. And he said, we had flares and we had F-16s and they didn't get close to us. And he said, I fell asleep on that flight and I woke up and we were back at Langley. And it was like, he said to me, it was like I was just blank. He says, I don't remember a damn thing. I fell asleep and I don't remember a damn thing. And it's not like him to fall asleep for a 7-8 hour, 10-hour trip. You know, I've heard stories about Area 51 and where they Janet the people in and they don't remember what they worked on that day when they go home. But when they bring him to Area 51 in the morning, John Lear said they blank slate him again. And then they continue working on the project.
Wow.
So every single day they're blank slated going to work and from work.
Incredible.
I think that might be a technology that they have to manage. Because imagine managing all this secrecy.
Oh,
it's
got to
be
happening. Yeah.
So many people, the crew, everybody. Oh, we saw UFOs. Oh, we teleported across the world. You know, it's a way to manage the people working under you. But again, it's not foolproof because right. I heard that you start to remember. Some people start to remember. Interesting things to think about.
Oh, well, they just wipe out the memory. That's really impressive.
Yeah, blank slate. I think it's a common technology they've had for 60 years. Where they got it from, only we can speculate, but I doubt if it originated here. It's some sort of trade item. They're like, if you're going to do this and work with us, this is ET talking, you got to have this little gizmo because a lot of your people will go screaming to the hills and you know, want to be on Dark Journalist. Oh, no. Wipe their memories and then bring them back selectively.
Now, that makes no whistleblowers that way.
Right. Well, there are whistleblowers. Because it's not a foolproof thing.
Right.
They say 30% of the people start to, oh, no, I remember now in the 60s. I think Bob Lazar mentioned that. And Chris Millen attacked Bob Lazar. Folks, on Joe Rogan, folks, that's validation of Bob Lazar. I'm sorry.
Chris Millen attacked. True.
That's validation of Bob Lazar. Sorry.
It is interesting you went after him.
That's my story.
Well, that's a breakthrough note to end on as well. John, it's great to see you. And this remarkable insights, remarkable history, and all the things that you're doing to open the subject up. The book, now you're finishing it up. It's going to come out when?
It's short. In a couple months, I'll get it on Amazon. It's called Sanity Was a Luxury. And it's an odd title, but it's a quote from Ernst Schaefer of the Annan Air Bay.
Fantastic.
He's having this meeting with people, and he's like, folks, we're in a nuclear war with ETs flying around and Foo Fighters. Sanity is a luxury we cannot afford.
I like it.
And I think in those meetings, those people were like, their whole reality and history was blown in an instant on all sides.
Amazing. And this, from Little Anton to Lion, Tiger, Bear. Now, this would be like the thread goes directly. Was it part of a series?
Yeah, it's all a series for now. Probably write one more book in the series.
Fantastic.
And then write a time travel book about the Civil Wars and Albert Pike and the Freemasons. That's a story that needs to be dug out.
Listen, Ancient Aliens is just going to scoop you now. They're going to just grab that.
No way. No thanks. I'm not going on TV.
I swear to God, the biggest plagiarists on the planet, they just hang around waiting for good topics. But it is remarkable, and there's a lot going on with that UFO task force world, as we talked about. So we're going to have you back on to talk about that, because I have a feeling between now and, say, the end of the year, they're going to pull out another piece of this.
Yeah, so, I think it will. And it's disturbing on a lot of levels, but it's something we're going to have to roll with.
Yeah,
and I hate that. I'd really love if everyone would wake up all of a sudden to it, but they're not. And so we're going to have to roll with it and manage it as it goes. But I'm telling you, dissenting voices like yours and other people's, they're getting out there remarkably well, more than I would have thought.
Mm-hmm.
To people who aren't really part of our whole gang here. They're sort of on the fringes outside, you know. And someone said, I'm a physicist scientist. I know what you're doing. I think it's a good thing, but there's no way I'm getting involved. But here's something your dad and I discussed years ago. And I get emails like that from time to time. And so the word, you know, and people know about you and, you know, others. And then the interest, I think, is growing. But I don't know. Is it going to take 50 years? I hope not. But
it's building, definitely. And I agree with you. It seems like it's breaking through into different places we wouldn't have expected.
Yeah, it has. In the last 10 years, especially, it's slow. It's painstaking. And maybe that's not a bad thing. I used to think it was awful. Now I'm not so sure. I think a pace is good. But their UAP thing is way too slow and way too uninformative.
Right.
Hands down. But I think the combination of them and us,
mm-hmm.
everyone listening, everybody out there.
So the truth is rising.
I think so. Yeah. It is. I mean, you remember 30 years ago, there was nothing.
Absolutely.
Books and magazines, there's hardly anything on the internet. Hardly anything. But now the internet's changed everything. They can't hide stuff anymore. I've heard that people have tried to destroy the internet and hide stuff, and it just doesn't work. They can muddy the waters more, which is what they do.
Yeah.
But it's becoming more and more obvious. I mean, the UAP, someone said, is there another UAP task force? And all these acronyms. And I'm like, man, I can't believe what they're. Oh, you need to talk to the office down the hall of the Pentagon, the Anomaly Research Interrogation of Sea Creatures Office. It's like, what? And then you find out it's real, you know, like five guys sitting around a desk. You know,
that's even worse. Like
paper football. You know. It's remarkable what they're doing.
Well, I'm glad you're doing so well. And it's great to catch up with you. I'm always checking in on the stuff you're sending, and we're going to talk really soon.
Some of it's weird, and I understand that. And so a lot of it I have trouble with myself. But, you know, I'm sort of my whole thing is just the shotgun approach. You know, assume it's all true and then whittle down from there, you know. Law of discernment, you know.
That's the way to go, actually. And I actually I feel like since you came out, if people are coming forward to you, that's another dimension as well. So it's sort of like your own level of experience is being opened up by the things that they're giving you.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I wouldn't have believed that people would have done that, but they did. And it just today, that guy today, remarkable. Wow. Information about World War II. And I can't wait, you know, to dig that out more. You know, it's a fascinating, I mean, it's disturbing. It is.
Sure.
But yeah. Well, we got to start talking about all the possibilities. They're not going to go away. 10 years ago, everyone's like, no, that'll go away. Mm-mm. The narrative keeps building and expanding. You know, I have trouble with what is the truth from fiction, but it's expanding. Like the universe, it's expanding, which is good.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the Mar-a-Lago documents will open up a whole new chapter in the UFO file.
Trump's got those, you know, buried between the floorboards of his car or something. They'll never find those.
Hey, they searched Melania's wardrobe. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, because you hide things inside clothes.
Ah.
An old trick. They sew diamonds into clothing. So you go on borders and you carry your wealth. Same thing with documents. It's probably a thumb drive. Or a chip, you know, it's tiny, sewn into clothing. Oh, that's an old tactic. I don't think they found it. And no. I don't, even if Trump gets back into office, I'm not holding my breath for him to disclose much else. I think he's part of the team that's like, we can't do it, but we're helping you, the public. Yeah. We're helping you do it. And maybe that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't trust Trump further than I can throw him, but we know he's on, at least we know that he knows, you know, what we're talking about.
Well, the word was at the end of his administration, they were scared to death he was going to do it.
Oh, I'm sure. But again, you know, he's part of the deep state.
You know, yeah.
Deals with the mafia doing his buildings in New York. And, you know, I mean, he knows how it works. He's a great choice for a president we need now. It's the devil we know, you know, who understands the dirty work. We don't need some moron in there, you know. And their presidents are controlled, but Trump wasn't quite as controlled as they wanted him to be. He was a bit of a maverick. And yeah. I think that was obvious. I believe the story that he had Navy SEALs as part of the Secret Service, and he took his family with him on Air Force One everywhere he went. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had fighter escort and probably Black Triangle escort.
Wow.
With Air Force. Yeah. I would, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, cloaked, invisible, optical invisibility, jets with optical invisibility, like the F-35. Hell yeah. On any trip, anywhere, because there's probably people gunning for him the whole time. They're still gunning for him. That's the smoking gun. They're gunning for him. And this whole Russiagate thing is just more and more nonsense. But, you know,
Oh, absolutely. Biden's well, Mar-a-Lago piece made me wonder if it wasn't related to John's documents.
John T. Trump?
Yes.
Yeah, could be part of it.
That could be. Because there's only really three choices there. The UFO file, the Kennedy file,
or the John Trump. It's probably a little bit of all that. Yeah. It's probably John G.
Yeah.
And JFK, you know, which most people know conspiracy now. And part of the regular UFO file, and maybe something else. Maybe part on the Antarctica
thing. Right. That's the piece. Yes.
Yeah. Because, you know, I'm putting my mind into Trump's mind, and that's what I would do. You keep those as bargaining chips, and, you know, it's a blackmail item. He's blackmailing the deep state.
Yeah.
I believe that. If he survives, you know, his family, I think they're brave people. I really do.
Unbelievable.
Any presidential family is under crosshairs. You're under the crosshairs. And I think he's going to do behind the scenes that he's done some solids for the United States. He really has. We won't know for 20 years or 25 years or something. I don't know. But we'll eventually know.
But
I don't know. Military trials, your guess is as good as mine. And there's no proof of anything. Everyone says Gitmo is full of this, that, and the other. And there's no proof of that either.
But, right. Yeah, we've heard a lot of those, and they haven't panned out. The last thing I want to ask you is just on the UFO file, where are they taking it now? If they have a congressional committees, Avril Haines, Arrow, and then they have the new thing.
What new thing? A new old thing?
The new old thing.
We have it's Project take the place of Arrow. Data here, but now it's Project Pink Book. Oh, wait. No, I don't think they have anything new. I think they're going to do more. What they do is just more stuff that doesn't have anything to do with anything. Mm-hmm. You know, the reporting structures and UFO behavior. You know, they've got the Richard Dolan report, because everything that's safe to talk about, a UFO was sighted over Langley Military Base. Okay. Whoopity-doo-da-da. You know, that's not important, UFO sightings. The politics, the deals, who we are, the big things. That's what they want to keep. Look over here, folks. You know, don't listen to those crazy civilian amateurs. You know, it's crazy. And it's sad. People are hardwired, by and large. Most people are hardwired to obey authority.
Right.
Whether it be God or the U.S. government, the military or the general or whatever, your boss, you know, it's just true. Those of us who have always rebelled against that, you know, we can't imagine why would you do that, but it's true. And they know that. And so a part of this has to be a societal change, fundamental change. And most people in America don't trust the U.S. government. I think there was a poll that said 63% doesn't trust. I believe that.
Yeah.
But they're not willing to, you know, say, oh, you know, U.S. Air Force, you know, mylabbed my cousin and he ended up with a cattle in a tar pit. You know, they're not going to show that, but they're like, oh, I don't trust them. But,
right. You know,
and so there's a cognitive dissonance there. And I understand it. I don't have it, but it they just don't want to go there. And so maybe the slow approach is a better way, but it's going to be a fight between us and them and the deep state, because more and more people will go to the fringe over time because they've lost faith. It's a slow process. They're just losing faith. I think religion is on the downswing in Europe more than it has been in the last 500 years. I mean, people are tired of the lies. They're tired of being led around by the nose or the ear, and they're tired of kneeling in front of royalty and authority. It's becoming that way. It's slow, but it's happening. I urge people, get off your knees.
Excellent point.
You know,
wow. John, it's great to see you.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege. It really is.
It's fantastic, and I can just see, you know, the insights and the information is building from all the things that you're doing, so we really appreciate it.
Well, thanks. I do what I can, just like everyone else out there. You know, we all do our part, and I just have a really weird life and a strange brain that pieces things together. That's just who I am, but it doesn't mean I'm right about everything. No one is, but we're trying. We're trying to figure out the truth. That's all we can do is try. And this whole thing with proof, I mean, I'm like, history never changes. Who has the godlike, omnipotent power to keep history from changing? The fundamentals. And don't tell me it's all these royals and deep state groups. They don't get along. They fight each other.
Right.
Who's at the all-seeing eye? And that has to be E.T.
And
you know, that's what the Freemasons have been trying to tell us. With all this symbology and all their stuff, it's like, it's on the dollar bill. We're trying to tell you, but they're under the same, you know, there's white hats, black hats, and gray hats in the Freemasons. But, and I don't think they've done enough for the American people. Disclosure. I hope that changes in the near future.
I think that's really true. Yeah. I think
my friend is trying, they're trying to, you know,
well, they face a decision to come out, you know, with more of this, because they've run across periods like this before, the 19th century, where they were just going to get sucked up by the scientific materialism wing, and that was going to be it. So the public needs, the culture needs their input.
Yeah. I mean, it is that era. I mean, Blavatsky and Steiner and Annie Besant, they had, and even Manly P. Hall, they had to dance around the tulips. Yeah. They couldn't come out and say, oh, Atlantis, UFOs, aliens. No, no, they had to do it in a very philosophical way. And sometimes, you know, Steiner is long-winded, but Manly P. Hall, you know, if you read the book, Secret Teachings of All Ages, I mean, you got to have kind of a nerdy, interest in all that to sort of get it. It's hard. It's hard stuff.
He did the book.
It's not supposed to be easy.
He did it at 28 years old. What is going on there?
Imagine how many reincarnational lives he had to obtain his genius, just like everyone else. You know, you and I were shortchanged, but, you know, Patton and everyone said it. Henry Ford, Napoleon, they all said it. Yeah, Mozart wrote a concerto at 5. You know, how many lifetimes as a musician did he have? And he, you know, who I found was a theosophist. Patton, which I didn't know. But remember, wow. Pasadena, he was living there in Pasadena. Jack Parsons, all that. Okay. I had a girlfriend who lived next to Patton's house. I remember his house well. I didn't know he was a theosophist, but he was. And then somebody else was in secret.
We know he believed in reincarnation.
That's Elon Musk.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and some I'll email you. I can't remember who it is, but I learned about some people who were into that. And
that would be wild.
They were.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether you're on whatever side, you're dabbling with the occult and mysticism and Hermetica and everything, you've got to understand the way the universe is working, at least our little piece of it here on Earth.
Well, we know that Gandhi and Thomas Edison were members of theosophy, so... that's quite a party list there.
It's, I'm Franklin Delano Roosevelt, I think, is a very good president. He might have cobbled together some nefarious things, but he was an odd fellow.
Oh.
I had my Harvard friend just join the odd fellows, and he says, oh, I'm not a Freemason, I'm an odd fellow. I'm like, are you out of your mind? The symbology is all the same. And they don't talk about anything. And I said, you're not going to learn anything. And I sent him a brief briefing. And he was like, you're right. They just talk about fluff. So my friend is a friend of the Kennedys. He's works for Joe Kennedy, Citizens Energy and everything like that. Super smart guy. But I'm like, since high school, I'm trying to bring him along saying, hey, man, you're smart, but you need to push it a little harder.
Yeah.
And he joined the Oddfellows and he's like, you're right. They don't talk about. They didn't understand what I said when I said your Egyptian mystery school stuff. They were like, I said, you're with the porch Masons. You're not with the Masons up in the big house drinking Napoleon brandy. We're talking about everything you and I have talked about tonight. That's the way it is. It's always, we are stratified. Yeah, that was the other fundamental that never changes, caste systems.
Right.
Caste system in the military, caste system everywhere. Schools, India, America. Everyone's in a caste system. That's Anunnaki.
Right.
And so that's another fundamental that never changes. Oh, America, the land of the free, we're all free. No, we're not. You know,
interesting.
And always the elite few. You know, and it's sad.
I think really laying that pattern over history is important.
Yeah.
You know, something I think you do really well. Hopefully your Harvard friend reads your book.
Everyone's like, where's the proof? I'm like, the proof is all around you.
Right.
You need to do some homework and deep thinking. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to do that. They want quick, easy answers. And there's none of that in this field. This is the biggest issue in human history. And nobody wants to dig into it. Very few of us. Why? Yeah, mind control, religions, other things, U.S. government, military stuff. But we have the most program in the United States. The most. I've seen evidence of that. I told you, I go everywhere. I see the system, advertisers, scams online, you know, the U.S. Post Office going away. You know, everything is being engineered so that we're reliant on Amazon and Elon Musk in the end.
That makes sense to me. The Post Office thing, forget it. That's a terrible.
Yeah, you're either a debt slave in a cubicle with a computer, or, you know, screen or goggles, VR goggles, or you work for Tesla, or you go in the military. There's not going to be much else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cars will be electric. They'll drive to a dealership. Computer will fix it. And it's like, where are all these people going to have jobs? And it's like, I think they're trying to get rid of a lot of jobs. And make us a very compliant, more slave-like society. And that's the other problematic thing with this UAP thing. They're on board with that. I'm sorry. Yeah. They're on board with that agenda, whether they understand it or not. I'm sorry. You know.
It's like, welcome to the brave new world, John.
Yeah, Huxley, and everyone said it. You know, it took me decades to figure it out. I feel stupid sometimes, but we got to come to terms with it. I mean, we have to. And so bring everything on. I don't care. Bring it on. At least we can have a conversation after that. Everyone have a conversation.
Right.
Instead of just a few, you know.
Excellent point.
Well, thank you for having me.
John, fantastic. Have a great night, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Keep up the great work.
See ya. And say hello to Tiba.
And say hello to Olivia.
I will, sir.
Divine feminine. Oh, yes. All right.
Have a great night. It's great. So much stuff. And this is going to – I'm going to get this out for Friday. So
okay.
We'll have great. A good time with it. And I think people are going to really love it. So
we all do what we can, you know. I don't have any expectations going forward. I think Gurdjieff stressed that. You got to do your job in life, what's in your heart. You do what's in your heart, but don't ever expect to be rewarded or, you know, or anything. It's like you've got to do it from a selfless attitude or you're not doing the work. It's like the Native American proverb where the young warrior says to the elder, this maturing into manhood as a warrior, the path is too hard. And he said, the obstacles are the path.
Yeah.
It makes sense, you know. And
well, we get taught the opposite in society. This is part of the problem. And everyone wants everything super easy and luxurious.
It's supposed to be hard. That's what John Kennedy said. Remember, he says, we're not going to the moon because it's easy, but we're doing it because it's just hard.
Right.
I love those words that he said.
Yeah.
He had great speeches, and he said it. He's like, America can do anything it puts its mind to. I believe that. And we're mostly good, positive people. We'll make this thing happen. We'll make all this work. We'll fix everything eventually.
Yeah.
In my grandson's lifetime. I believe that. It's going to take a lot of effort. But we're can-do people. And apparently out there, we're known. Oh, those Earth people, especially the United States, milking a big complex, they can build stuff. They're creative. And we have I wonder if that's true, that we have a good reputation as being, you know, the Detroit of the local, you know, part of the galaxy, you know, just call Detroit if we need electric mining vehicles.
I think there is something special about America. I agree. Yeah.
New Atlantis.
Yeah.
I think that'll eventually come true. Probably not in our lifetimes, but my grandson's.
It's in the DNA of the whole thing. How old is he?
He's 8, and I have granddaughter.
Okay, yes, one. So he will. He'll live to see it.
Yeah, and I'm, you know, you have to do what you can in this life for future generations. I mean, you know, it's not like we're doing this to become movie stars. Don't do that. Don't want fame. Don't get too famous. You live in a bubble.
Yeah, good
you point. Guys are conspiracy nuts. You live in a bubble. It's like time-space bubble, yeah. It's electromagnetic.
Electromagnetic.
That shuts the conversation down. You know that. What books have you been reading? That's always my dad thinks. What books have you been reading on this crap? Everything.
Wow. All right. We talk soon, sir.
All right. Ciao.
All right. Have a great night.
Okay. You too.
Wow, unbelievable insights. Thank you, John. You know, I always catch myself thinking, will history ever be the same after we have you on the program? Please watch for his new book, Sanity Was a Luxury. Again, this is a novel on the secret technology that we call X-Tech on this program and its relation to Nazi secret development. Please remember to subscribe at darkjournalist.com for episodes right in your inbox and join us on Friday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern for the X Steganography series. See you soon.